Welcome back to Siren Radio with me, Jem Rose. Here, my guest today, Brad Alice, singer-songwriter from Grimsby. So, you know, I've got to represent my hometown. How would you describe how you write your music? Because I don't feel like it's just normal music. I feel like there's always emotion is attached to it, Brad. So, I mean, how would you introduce
absolutely.
Yourself?
I would say that I have a mixture of some heartfelt personal songs, but also a lot of socially critical, socially conscious songs that comment about the state of things like my hometown or the tech industry or masking as an autistic person's and mental health as well. Like, I try to cover a wide variety of bases, but I always try to keep a mixture of heart and kind of, I guess, head-based social criticism, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. And like I say, yeah. I think there was a reason that kind of I wanted to talk to you because of that kind of social criticism. And I feel like it's not something that you usually find in. And obviously, yeah. You kind of will find songs that will be social criticism. But for you to have songs, all your songs pretty much be a social criticism. I mean, how does that come about? Is that something that's just reaches a boiling point? Or is it something that you've always kind of, have you been interested in politics and always been quite kind of socially critical of things in kind of society?
Yeah, certainly. Like, I grew up on punk, really. So I grew up massively on Green Day when I was young. And then that kind of introduced me to bands like Bad Religion, Propagandhi, Minor Threat, The Clash, that kind of stuff. And all of those bands obviously sing about a lot of like serious societal political issues, and it just kind of like fed into my writing. It got me interested in history. I did my degree in history, so I've always taken quite a strong interest in like the world and politics and stuff like that. So it's something I'm just sort of very passionate about in general, so it always bleeds into my music, or nearly always.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I can just break it down within the kind of main three that you've kind of released. Obviously, you've done more, but in kind of the main three, what was the very first one that you did? Because I feel like that's the perfect way to kind of start. What was the first track that you recorded?
Oh, wow. That goes back to about 2016. But out of the three that you mentioned,
the first one
I recorded was Further From Myself.
Further From Myself. Yeah. I mean, we spoke about it briefly before we started it.
We did.
You kind of... I mean, you're probably better off saying, what is it that you kind of got diagnosed with?
I got diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder last year. And the year before that, I was diagnosed with ADHD.
And you've written Further From Myself before you got diagnosed, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so,
that's right.
I mean, looking back, is it something that's kind of self-reflective? And I mean, obviously, you kind of... Do you identify the song as about that now? Obviously, you say it's about kind of masking your inner kind of identity, but when you go back and you kind of... When you are diagnosed and you're kind of thinking at that time, is it something that seems quite kind of... striking now when you're like, that kind of makes sense why I was writing like that.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. So that song came about during lockdown, and it was a reflection on like, so during lockdown I had a lot of time to myself suddenly to sort of like self-reflect, and I realized how bloody like exhausted I'd been from kind of putting on a persona at work. And just realizing how much of my identity I'd kind of lost from doing that. And then looking back at it now, it's like, yeah, it's a song about masking, which makes a lot more sense like with the perspective of what I've been diagnosed with since then. And I didn't realize that at the time.
Yeah, so what was the original thinking behind the song? Obviously, it's a kind of... Yeah. Well, I mean, what was your thinking behind? Obviously, now that you kind of look back and you think, that kind of... What was you thinking about at that time? Is it a different perspective for how you look back on the song now?
Yeah, certainly. At the time, I'd like to say it was heavily about feeling like I'd lost my identity through work and through being socially exhausted from kind of burning myself out, being out all the time and stuff like that, and kind of not letting myself have a break because I didn't realise what I had. I didn't realise I needed it. I know it's about like smile, fabricate songs and all of that stuff. That's about putting on a face in front of people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, was the pandemic something that really kind of took you back, like many other people, it kind of took you back within your inner self? Was it when you kind of had that time off during the pandemic when you was writing it?
Yeah.
Was that kind of a time of self-reflection for you and kind of creativity?
Oh, 100%, yeah. I'd had, like, a really bad writer's block for quite a long time, like, before that. Mm. And it all just kind of came back. I'd say that, like, the pandemic actually, in a weird way, gave me a second wind.
Yeah, I think...
songwriting and everything.
A lot of people have kind of said that, because it takes you away from, you know, being out, having to go to work. Why are you writing that? I mean, when does music kind of start with you? I mean, how do you get into music? Have you always been a musical person? Or was it something where you, like, you kind of had something to say about social criticism and stuff like that, and that's how the singer-songwriting came about?
The first one, really. I mean, like, I got into music when I was about 9 or 10. I kind of got into a lot of rock music from influence of my family and stuff, and I started learning how to play the guitar at that age, and it was a couple of years later I started getting into punk and then getting an interest in history because of that. So I think the music actually drove my interest in the social awareness stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So was you all originally kind of writing, kind of, was you going down a punky line originally, because that's what you kind of and have you changed it since then? Obviously. I mean, how does that change come about then, really, for you? Or does it just feel like the things that you talk about require more of a sensitive tone than kind of what punk rock does? I mean, it has the same kind of styles and it has the same kind of critique, but in terms of how you kind of play, you know, with the guitar, etc. now, I mean, what requires it to have that kind of change? Do you think it is the tones of what you're talking about, or do you think it's just something that comes naturally to you?
I think you were right with what you said. It's the different tones of what I'm talking about. So I would say that punk was definitely my origins. That's what got me into writing good songs and writing prolifically as a singer-songwriter. And I have definitely changed the tone of it for some of the more sensitive songs. Like, I've got a song called Just Out of Reach, which is about unrequited love. And obviously, like, that's a lot more subdued and soft. But I often find that I can't keep that stuff up. Like, I always end up coming back to the punk stuff.
Yes.
Like, eventually, it's always come full circle back to the punk stuff. And that's the thing that stays the most consistent, because it probably is the style that speaks to me the most. It's the one that's most me, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And is that something that you think you'll always kind of carry with you? Is that kind of punk influence, really?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So, like, even if I change styles, which obviously I like to experiment with different styles, I don't like everything to sound all the same, but even the stuff with different styles will definitely have a kind of punk energy and punk message to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gone to the next one, which is kind of the one that I kind of caught my attention. Our kind of local news site, website in Grimsby. Streets of Grimsby, talk to me about, I mean, for someone that comes from Grimsby and kind of reading about what you'd already said and kind of listening to it, it makes sense. But I mean, from your perspective, what kind of created that song in your mind?
The idea for that first came about when Kate Middleton visited the town in 2013.
Okay.
And there was a big, big media, like, song and dance, loads of pomp and show on the news about it. And, like, it felt like the entire town was trying to act, like, a lot more
pristine
than we usually, like, view ourselves. Like, the media was talking about us positively for a change. And it just kind of, like, gave me a bit of whiplash, thinking, like, oh, well, no, we don't normally talk about ourselves like this. Like, people usually describe the town as a dump and all of that sort of stuff. And it just made me think about how much of a negative press we usually get. And for some reason, everyone was just kind of sweeping that under the carpet for Kate Middleton visiting. So that's what got me to start writing the lyrics on that song. Another thing that encouraged me to push that song forward was the Skint documentary as well. The way it kind of just showcased all of the rough areas of the town. And really, a lot of people only know about the town because of that documentary, even though we have such, like, a broad history and so much different culture in the town, there's so much more to us than just the rough areas. I felt like the song was needed as a response to that, and that's why I've, after I finished the lyrics, I kind of tweaked the music, and that's kind of brought it, brought, you know, helped it to evolve into the song it is today.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that I completely, I completely agree with everything that you are saying. I do feel like it is something where everyone is just kind of like, you know, everyone describes this negative thing, and then it, perhaps it be Armed Forces weekend, which for me is probably one of the best weekends in Cleethorpes. But I feel like everyone kind of has this reinvigoration. Kind of, and
yeah,
the same
exactly.
As I do completely agree with what you're saying.
You hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah, and we spoke to on the show before. We've spoke to the director of 3 Day Millionaire, Jack Spring, and he kind of said about that he kind of was watching the Skins documentary, and he watched the Grimsby movie with Sacha Baron Cohen, and that just wasn't the reality. And it's like you say, with kind of that negative press. And I mean, that's why I kind of really want to talk to you about, because I feel like it's something that kind of sticks quite strongly around this area, which is this the constant kind of negativization of your kind of local town. I mean, do you have a sense of pride in Grimsby, do you think? Or do you just kind of get fed up with the negative connotations and that people just seem to be really down about it? Or is it or do you kind of have quite a pride about where you are from?
I'd say it's a bit of both on that one. I do really value my hometown because I've met a lot of very, very, you know, positive, brilliant people while I've been growing up here.
Yeah.
And when you say, like, do I get fed up with all the negative press? Like, certainly. I mean, I've never seen the 3 Day Millionaire movie yet, but I do like the fact that it showcases the historical areas on the docks. So I've heard, like, the Casbah areas. So like, I helped out with the Heritage Open Day last year, this one just gone, and that focused on all of the, like, the history of the buildings and all the different businesses and the little the kind of community that used to be on the dock. And I wish that the town would focus a bit more on that sort of stuff, all of that, like, history. Like, there's so much interest.
Yeah, so you kind of... I do feel detached, I feel, for a certain... There's a lot of history that comes from the likes of Grimsby, and, I mean, we're from Lincoln and kind of, you know, Mansfield and Scunthorpe and all these areas that have kind of been depleted but are full of kind of history. Do you feel like that is something that definitely reflects upon someone that has done history as a degree as well? Is it something that, like, was it something before your degree or something afterwards that you really kind of valued particularly, the history of Grimsby?
The song Streets of Grimsby came before I went to college or uni and did history, to be honest. It came before that, so I think the concern about that issue was definitely there before then, but I think... So I kind of shelved the song for a while. I didn't play it live. And then after I did my degree, I kind of thought, yeah, I've got to bring the song back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you kind of feel an inspiration from, do you kind of go for walks around Grimsby and kind of get an inspiration? I mean, when you're writing this, had you gone kind of around the town and just kind of got inspiration? I mean, how was the writing process like for it? Because obviously, I mean, it's the streets of Grimsby, so did you kind of tour the streets of Grimsby and then think, oh, the docks, and kind of, you know, make a note of that mentally in your mind and then whatever else?
Ooh, that's a really good question, actually, because I did used to go on a lot of walks around Grimsby for songwriting inspiration and stuff, and I used to feel quite sentimental about a lot of areas of the town, even the rougher areas, because they just, I don't know, I just kind of saw a bit of a beauty in some of... like the industrial areas and stuff like that, the area around Freeman Street or like the areas around town near the railway tracks and stuff like that. And I always felt like a kind of like, I don't know, a weird like love for it. And I will say that like I saw that news thing about Kate Middleton visiting, and then the song just came. I was just in my house, like I wrote like a line, and then and then another line came very quickly, and then it just kind of came very like very fast, very naturally.
Yeah.
That song. But yeah, you are right. Sorry, carry on.
No. You say that she visited in 2013, so how, if you don't mind me saying, how old are you now, Brad?
I'm 27 now.
So that would have been, so it'd have been about 17 when you was writing this thing.
16, yeah.
Six and seven. Why was it so long that it was kind of shelved for? Because that wasn't kind of my thinking, and then it was more when you were saying like 2013, and right before your degree. So why now, kind of, to be kind of releasing it like nearly 10 years on?
There was a couple of reasons. One, I was in a band back then, and we were going to try and make it an original song, but we never brought it together, and then the band split up. I kind of wondered if it was a bit too niche, if people like wouldn't understand it with being Grimsby, but it was about 2018 I brought it back, 2019-ish, I started playing it live at gigs again, and it just got a really good reception, and even when I played it in Nottingham, I played it in Sheffield, and even there it got an excellent reception, and so I just thought, well, clearly it's not too niche. And clearly, like, people do see what I'm on about, because I bet there's other working-class towns that have had a similar thing. I bet Scunthorpe or, like, working-class areas of Sheffield probably know what I'm talking about with all the negativity and stuff. Yeah. It's probably not unique to Grimsby. So I kind of felt an urge to bring it back. I felt like I had a duty even to bring it back because of the good reception it was getting. So, that's why I uploaded the video of it. That's why I spoke to Grimsby Live about it.
Yeah, and hopefully it goes bigger, because like you say, it's something that I think captures working class culture or working class towns quite well. So was you surprised by when you was performing in Nottingham and Sheffield? Was you surprised by the response that it was getting?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, but like pleasantly so, like, because it was a punk for the homeless gig that I was doing, and so it was punks, you know what I mean? Like they know working class culture, and there's a bit where it says, you better learn to love this town, and chants Grimsby. I got people chanting that afterwards, Grimsby, big up Grimsby and stuff in Sheffield. Yeah. I was like, oh, nice.
Which is quite a challenge, I'll be honest with you, Brad. That is, there's enough times where I've gone away with a football, and that is a surprising thing to do. So fair play to you for that. But I mean, the final one, just before, because Tech Daddy, obviously, is it about Elon? I think it's vaguely about Elon, but I think it's also about capitalism as a whole, would you say?
Capitalism, yeah, certainly, yeah, definitely. It is definitely referencing Elon Musk. Like, I've done a lyric video that has the original artwork, which shows Elon Musk in a dominatrix costume, in a cat suit with holding a
with the media, which I found very, very fun. Is this out now or is that coming up? Is Tech Daddy?
That releases on streaming services tomorrow, and the lyric video will release on YouTube tomorrow. So
perfect. Where can people find your socials, just very quickly?
So you can find me just Brad Arliss on Instagram. You can find me as Brad Arliss on Spotify and Apple Music and Amazon Music and all of that stuff. And Brad Arliss Music on Facebook.
Absolutely. I feel like the way that you write it is kind of social criticism, and it is kind of critiquing, which I find, you know, to be quite remarkable in this day of age, where I don't feel like that is kind of used a lot. I don't feel, you obviously, do you feel like you have a platform to speak out now? You didn't kind of before, but do you feel a kind of social responsibility to speak out against issues because of a platform?
Definitely, yeah. I'm not used to having a platform, so it's pretty good to see people like taking interest in what I'm doing, and I'm glad that it speaks to people and other people feel a similar way as well. With Tech Daddy, I've tried to take a little bit of a different approach to so Further From Myself and Streets of Grimsby both have a lot of like big words in the lyrics, whereas Tech Daddy uses a lot more like kind of silly humour to get the point across, which I think works.
Which is, very, very, very satirical. I mean, even from the image, in Elon Musk in a dominatrix outfit, it has to be slightly satirical. Just my final question. I feel like this is quite interesting. You talk about them a lot. Would you describe yourself as an activist, a musical activist?
I've never thought of it like that, you know, but like I think I'm definitely taking that route, like, and I've tried to be active with like going to protests and stuff like that before, so I guess in a sense, yeah. I will say that not every song that I write is social commentary. There are some personal songs as well, but I try and touch on things that I think people will feel strongly about, and try to get my point across about the world. Yeah, in songs that I write, something that has like social importance.
Yeah, do you feel like even with the personal songs that it still takes an element of this kind of, I mean, your homegrown kind of landscape, you know, the kind of setting that you live in, Grimsby, and kind of the thoughts. Do you still feel like it kind of blends in, even with the personal tracks?
But
that there's commentary in there. Absolutely, yeah.
I was just going to say, I have a song called Greetings, which was about my nan, that just tells about the story of her life and stuff and, like, the experiences she had with her family. And I think that probably does touch on some, like, universal themes in that as well, like grief as well as family abuse and things like that. Yeah, as well as it being a very personal song about my nan.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, thank you for coming on. I really do appreciate it. I love the tracks. I love what you're doing.
Thank you.
And I hope that it continues to grow for us, because I really do rate what you are doing. Just finally, what are the socials? Brad Alice on Facebook, Instagram, and Alice, by the way, A-R-L-I-S-S. That's how you spell Alice, obviously.
That's right, yeah.
Brad is not as hard to spell as Alice is. but yeah, thank you for coming on. Really do appreciate it.
And, best
of luck with everything in the future. And hopefully you come back on if you've got another track.
I would love that. Thank you for chatting with me today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. See you soon.
See you soon. Bye.